You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this week's edition of the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports.
And I am Joseph Silverzweig. It is wonderful to be talking to you all on this almost fall morning, afternoon here. The night time now is finally starting to feel like fall. You can start to feel that football in the air around 8, 9 o'clock when it starts to drop into the 70s and the grass starts to smell good. And you can just hear the cracking of helmets and the smashing of pads that is just around the corner.
Have you been to practice yet?
I have not. I was going to go yesterday, but it's been crazy at work. I have carved out an hour to go on Friday. So I will have eyewitness practice reports on Friday, although I have had my ear to the ground. And we'll talk about that. Grant did a poll. First, we'll do the quick hitters, of course.
Of course.
Got a lot of stuff to talk about there.
And we're going
to
talk position groups on my Twitter poll, and then we'll, you know, probably have some fall camp
stuff. Yeah, it's kind of a little bit more loosely structured show than usual. Although I do have one recruiting note for you guys, so stay tuned for that. Let's see. Oh, quick hitters.
Well, no.
No, wait, we got one more thing. I was talking about the sweet smelling grass.
Yeah.
My grass doesn't smell as sweet. And if you are on Twitter and you've seen what I have done to my poor front yard. So I just bought this house. And we bought it in like late April. Hadn't really moved in till end of May before it really felt moved in. And I was like, I feel like the ship has already sailed with regard to caring for this yard. So I've been watering and I've been taking care of it. There's no sprinkler system, which makes it difficult. I have to move my sprinklers around. Although one cool thing about this Ute Daddy process is it really cuts down on your watering. That poor soul who's paying $600 a month, I don't know if you've seen that news story. Ute Daddy process followers are not paying $600 a month.
That guy is paying $600 a month because he has a football field in his backyard.
Right. I mean, people are like, oh, that's so unfair. Well, you know, he's been living off the fatted calf of other taxpayers for a while, and now he's got to pay for his yard. I mean, what are you going to do?
As one Murray resident and then a former Murray resident, like, those water bills are pretty fair.
Yeah,
and
I'm happy.
The rates, like, I don't feel like it was a huge rate increase. Like, literally, my last bill there, watering a ton because my landlord was a punk. Well, I shouldn't say that, but he wasn't happy with the grass, and he wanted me to water more, so I did, and it got $10 higher than it did when I was watering daily with fresh sod.
And yeah, so Utah, in general, is really kind to people who keep up their lawns because they don't charge usually a metered or per gallon kind of rate. It's usually sort of a set rate associated with your taxes. And then in Murray, they kind of graduated it up to a slightly higher tax
rate.
Yeah.
Based on usage.
But that's really fair, especially given the kind of water desperate region that we live in, and they're pretty generous.
Just to give you daddy some props, because I've started partially on the plan.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the next step to hit,
and I'll do it. But you know, some fertilizer and some humate, and I've adjusted my irrigation system programming based on what you daddy recommended. And I'm literally about to cut, you know, middle of summer, Department of Natural Resources, everybody says water three times a week. I'm literally about to cut it two, so I don't have to mow as much, or cut it down to two cycles.
Yeah,
so,
I
either way, It's going well so far.
I work across from the Department of Environmental Quality, and I want to, like, send you, Daddy, over there and be like, you guys are telling everybody to water more than they need to water. There's actually better ways. And I really benefit from the lower watering, too. It saved me a lot of time. I don't have a sprinkler system, so I have to manually move this rain bird all over my front yard. You can see in that picture is pretty small, normal size. My backyard is huge. Grant's been there. There's hills and valleys, and it's intense. And so if you're watering it every 2 days, it's a lot. But being able to just do kind of one zone, 1/6 or the fifth of the yard every night has really made my life a lot easier. So thank you, you daddy.
All right, so quick hitters. First one up, and I'm not
he's looking at, we got this list, and he's like, what the heck is he talking about? So I was watching. I'm just going to talk. No, we really don't. I did once for like a beautiful 2 years in college, but not anymore. A lot of things happened. That definitely being one of them. But I watched these videos of the players, and they've all got these, I don't know, are they half shirts that they wear?
I don't know what to call
them. Or they like roll up their sort of their Under Armour, as it were, just to do a little plug there.
When you go up to practice, how about you ask them?
It seems like a weird question to ask a guy wearing what amounts to like a sports bra. It's a little weird. And I don't know if it's just like, man, everybody's got to see what I've got going on here, or if they get hot. I don't know. When I work construction, what we learned is that the more clothes you wear, the more comfortable you are. If you wear like long sleeves, it's actually more comfortable because you stay out of the sun. And you sweat a little bit more, so the air is more cooling and the breeze is more cooling. And if you think about it, you look at individual cultures that live in really hot, dry places, like the desert is the best example, the Mujahideen and stuff like that. They wear those big, long robes, and that's actually more comfortable because there's a lot of airflow and a lot of shade under the robe. So when you get hot and dry, you want to wear more clothes, not less. So I think they're just showing off a little bit. And can you blame them? No, you can't. But yeah, they just want everybody to see what's going on down there.
Admiring the tools of the trade.
Tools of the trade. That's it. Grant, I make Grant a little uncomfortable with the level of confidence I have in my masculinity, my willingness to appreciate the physique of these men.
It's the level at which you appreciate.
I'm enthusiastic.
20-year-old's muscles.
Oh, you guys like it too. You're all thinking the same thing. You're all watching the Real Talk with Reggie with Tom Yasmin this time, and going, man, that dude is stacked. And I'm the one saying it, so you're welcome. Let's see what's next there.
Well, so the Pac-12 networks are
the six pack. 12 networks. There's your segue right there.
Right. I feel like the show just got worse.
cut and edit that one out. All right.
Football is supposedly going to be taking a larger role in the Pac-12 networks programming.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Part of the Mercury News.
They've got some new. Yeah, this is John Wilner. I don't know if he's at ESPN, but he got laid off from wherever when all of the big companies were laying off all their, good reporters in favor of Barstool type stuff. And he's been doing an amazing job covering the Pac-12 kind of industry stuff, ratings and TV and all that stuff. And we like to talk about that here. But they've hired a new, I want to say president or CEO, somebody named Shukin. And then, that's the new CEO. And then they hired Larry Myers to be the new executive vice president for content just this spring. And they've come on in the last 12 months. They got on too late to change content for last year. But they've announced a real overhaul of the content focused on football. The networks, this is a quote, the network should be about football, about marketing the product and deepening the connection. We have to elevate and promote the value of our football product to potential distributors for the next 6 months and the next 6 years. And that's the she's referring to when the Tier 1 media rights expire in 2024, and we've talked about this too, the Pac-12 has to right the financial ship so they can demonstrate to networks we have a very valuable product. And right now they haven't done that. And some of that's going to be fixed as the Pac-12 wins some more games, which we expect to happen bowl just because that's the way especially. The world works, right? You don't usually lose all your bowl games but one and then get bumped out of the basketball tournament too. But so that should sort of improve organically. But they're also going to be focusing on those products, which I would say is about what we've been calling for here on the podcast and a lot of fans have been clamoring for. And so it's nice to see the direction starting to change in terms of the Pac-12 net.
Well, I mean, it's still got a long way to go for me. But,
definitely.
But it is a step in the right direction. Overdue, really. But
yeah, I would say about 2 years. Like, we could see this coming 2 years ago.
But, I mean, if they can get their reach better on social media, just everywhere in general, and have that better position for that argument when it's time to negotiate the dollars and Amazon wants to bring them on live, is what I'm hoping for. Something like that. But we'll see.
I've been thinking, we talked last week about 8 or 9 games, and I've been thinking about that a lot. And I think going to 8 games would be a substantial help to that quest, because you'd be able to schedule more A games, because the in-conference schedule wouldn't be as tough. So Utah would be looking at this new open spot that used to be filled with Washington or Washington State or Oregon. They'd say, maybe we will play Michigan or Texas Tech this year. And would add a win to a lot of schedules, because instead of teams playing each other, right, if you think you got 12 teams playing each other, that's 6 wins and 6 losses
right.
for the conference. If you've got 12 teams playing 12 other teams, you can get 8 or 9 or 10 wins out of that week.
So I get your point, but I'm sticking with what we said last week. I mean, I don't care if it's 8
consistency
or 9,
is more important.
It's more important that it be consistent across all conferences.
The other thing I like about 8 is everybody would have the same number of conference home and conference away games, which is
true.
More
that'd
fair.
Be nice. Yeah.
Right now, the Utes, as for example, this year have 5 away games, which really, I mean, you have 5 away games and the toughest out of division schedule in the whole conference on your best year since you joined the conference. That's rough, you know, and it'd be nice if the system didn't allow those kinds of chips to fall that way.
Hey, What negative Nancy got a hold of Mr. National
11,
title?
11, 12, 13, 14 wins. How many wins do you want? I will guarantee them. No, I won't. I'll guarantee you 8, though.
All right, so that was not much of a quick hitter. Let's
yeah, well, that was a slow hitter. That was like a
slow pitch
a Foreman left hook. Takes a mile to get there. But when it gets there, it's a knockout.
All right, so there's some other news in the Utah AD office. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, so Harlan hired his buddy and actually a former colleague, Mike Brennan's as well, from USF, promoted ostensibly Brennan to senior vice president or senior deputy or something like that of external, and then his buddy from USF is internal operations, or maybe it's the other way around. But the point is, that's kind of being heralded as a, yay, we added this new great guy, and he is a great guy. And look, he rewarded Brennan. Brennan is the guy he beat for this job, right? Brennan was who everybody inside this school expected to get the gig. And part of me wonders if this is going to feel like a promotion to Brennan, or if it's going to feel like he's getting kind of squeezed out. And we'll see what – it's really up to him, right? But if he could – he's certainly a desirable commodity to a lot of schools and could move on if he wanted to.
So just so you know, Officially, Kyle Brennan was promoted to Chief Operating Officer / Deputy Athletics Director. And
the Deputy Athletics Director in charge of, is it internal or external?
Internal operations.
And then they've added another Deputy Athletics Director.
Of
so
external.
So the title is better, but the responsibilities seem to maybe have been divided. I don't know. We'll see. I just wanted to put that thought in people's heads and kind of give the other side of it. How's the sports schedule looking?
Well, so tomorrow, I believe it is, the Idaho Vandals are in Salt Lake to play the soccer team, 7 p.m. Mountain. So go support the running Utes
footy,
or whatever those
footy
Utes are called.
What kind of the kicking Utes? That's terrible. Let's call them. I think running's about right.
Running makes sense. I mean, you run so much in soccer.
Oh, my gosh.
It's exhausting.
God,
it's exhausting to watch.
Yeah. I seriously run out of breath just watching them.
It's a lot of soccer in the schedule right now. I can't see a football game like we had earlier.
Oh, that's too bad. That intern finally got around to updating whatever calendar
pulls out of. Yeah, so we've got soccer, volleyball, and then football.
Football!
All right. So, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, just a quick recruiting update. I mean, the other recruiting thing is that Beano Shermer officially enrolled at USC. He was supposed to come here, changed his mind last minute.
His loss.
Honestly, yeah. And, you know, he's a good player. USC wanted him. Utah wanted him. He's got the potential to be a contributor. But I've heard people saying Garrett Bowles, and it's not in that neighborhood. He's not an immediate contributor. He's like a next year kind of see what we get guy. It's good. I don't mean to downplay it. It's a loss for the Utes, but it's not catastrophic. But on to what would be a big deal not to land is four-star, third-rated dual-threat quarterback, that according to Rivals, Jaden Daniels. This is Utah's one and really only prospect at quarterback. Out of the top 40, I want to say 38 of the top 40 quarterbacks have already committed. The other one, I can't remember his name. He's not interested in Utah. Jaden recently released the top 8, USC, Penn State, Nebraska, Cal, UCLA, Georgia, Texas A&M, and Utah. He's planned 2 official visits so far, Cal and Utah. So we got to remember, these kids have only 5 official visits they're allowed to take. So you get a sense of who their top 5 are based on who they schedule. So Utah's in that group and is pursuing him hard. Interesting is Cal, whose new OC is Bo Baldwin, former head coach of Washington State, who is also Troy Taylor's, where Troy Taylor came from. So both Bo Baldwin and his OC are going after the same kid. So it's fair to say he's a good fit for this offensive system. He really likes Utah. I don't think this is a favor. I think he really likes Utah, and there's a good chance he'll come here. And we'll just see how it goes. But it's important because there's nobody else out there. They'll be looking at graduate transfers, JUCO kids. I mean, they need to continue to build depth, and I think the staff would like to move Shelley to a different position, but they can't until they have better depth at quarterback. Jaden Daniels would probably allow them to do that because they'd have Huntley, Tuttle, and Daniels, and then Lisk.
I was about to say, don't forget your man.
I love Drew Lisk, but we haven't heard about him yet out of practice. But if they have to reach for a, you know, 3-star transfer quarterback, that's not going to create the same kind of confidence and depth that signing a top player like Daniels would. So fingers crossed, that's a very important recruiting battle to watch this season.
All right. So, speaking of this season, I decided to ask Utah fans some questions on Twitter. And that question was, which position group are you most concerned about? And I gave these 4 options, Joseph. So I'd be interested to hear what your response to the poll is. But I gave linebacking core, wide receivers, defensive line, or other. So first, and you don't have to answer why if you don't want to, but which answer would you give?
I'm out on a limb a little bit with this one. Not as many people share this opinion, especially among the Rivals staff. They think I'm wrong about this, but linebacker. I'm concerned about depth at linebacker.
I think that's legit.
But they've heard such good things about Devin Lloyd. They're so confident Bernard's coming and going to be game ready. They like Donovan Thompson. So they think that's plenty of depth, and I'm still worried about it. I'm worried that Bernard's not going to be ready. I'm worried that Lloyd hasn't developed enough. I'm worried that Donovan Thompson isn't growing. Pirtle. And I'm worried that Pirtle is too big and slow and more of a natural defensive end than a natural linebacker, especially without the middle linebacker role in a 4-3.
Well, what about Cody Barton? Isn't he a linebacker?
Yeah, you've got Chase Hansen and Cody Barton, who I think are going to be two of the best linebackers in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Both of them. Cody Barton's looked really good. But it's a heavy-hitting position that takes injuries, and I worry about that. When one or the other are, heaven forfend, both of them go down, I worry there's not going to be enough there to feel really good about stopping the run and fill in those gaps. So linebacker for me. But that's not what your guys answered here, looking at your poll.
So the top two were other and wide receivers. And from what I can tell on the comments, the other is offensive line.
Almost everybody who said other said O-line.
Yeah. Well, at least the people, yeah. Mm-hmm. The people who commented, definitely it was O-line. Almost unanimously. The interesting thing to me is I'm not concerned about the offensive line at all. I think it's a strength.
Between the first day of fall camp and now, I have added more confidence about the offensive line than anything. They're saying, and this is what's making people nervous, right? They're saying, well, Nick Ford's redshirt freshman pushing for a starting spot. And is it Daniels? Is that right? JDD Daniels. There's been two or three freshmen or redshirt freshmen that they've said, oh, these guys are pushing for time. And everybody says, well, why don't we know who's going to start on the offensive line? But to me, that says there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of good players because I know that the five guys who we kind of all projected to start on the offensive line, from Barton, Tawala, Lofalamaka, Paulo, and I can't remember the other guard. But those five guys were really good, and we're going to be a solid first string. And if a solid first string is being pushed for starting playing time and for snaps, that means there's a really good second string. So I think that that's all really good news, and I'm not – or Agassivas is the other guard. And I'm not worried about the first string at all. Of course, in the last interview, Whittingham said he was worried about depth at OL, but I think that might have more to do with some nicks and dings and dents in the starting guys because they've been working so hard. So hopefully they get healthy before Washington.
Yeah, I'm with you. The more I hear about the offensive line, the less concerned I am. And I, even more so, Harding's a great offensive line coach. And
he's
even
so
if there's
good.
A few bumps in the road warming up to the season, then that's okay.
Like, I tell you,
they'll recover.
Who I like the look of, but still has work to do in terms of getting game ready. But you could watch the circle drill. Is Simi Moala. The yesterday's circle drill, he's a big dude, 6'7", 300, and moves really well. I'm excited to see what he's going to do over the next few years.
Yeah, those circle drill videos make me want to hit someone myself.
Woo, man. Put some pads that last one got my heart pumping. You got Devere Hamilton, facing the camera, let's go, and it's pretty intense. I have very mixed feelings because I think the circle drill is a terrible thing to do with these kids for concussion and brain injury stuff, but I love it so much, and I'm sure the kids love it. I mean, you watch them, they're getting so pumped and they're having so much fun. So I feel two ways about it. I feel torn about it because the kind of thing that you don't have to do in practice to make them game ready, and it's not good for them. But at the same time, everybody, including the players, adores it, and it's a big part of what they love about football. So
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it does look fun. I mean, it's fun to watch as a fan. It gets you more amped up for the season to start.
Seriously,
I love it. Here's the other thing: wide receiver. What do you think there?
I think it's if you say what are the, I mean, that's not true, right? I'm happier about running back than I am about wide receiver, and I really like what I'm seeing for Huntley, but I'm just not worried about wide receiver. I mean, they're loaded. They've got, I mean, let's look at them. I've got the positions pulled up here. So you've got a starter group that's presumably, if you want to go four deep for starters in this offense, okay. It's presumably, let's see here, where do we want to start? Damari Simpkins, which is absolutely a starting caliber sort of speed inside slot guy.
Agreed.
And Covey on the other side, who is a true freshman, All-American. I mean, he's one of the best wide receivers in the country. On the other side in the slot. And then on the outside, you've got Seosi Mariner, who's great. 6'2", close to 200, and he looks really, really good. And who's the other outside guy who's been pulling? Where's his name? Nekwa has been great. He's more of a possession receiver than a deep threat. But big, great catching skills, really wide radius, really, really good. And that's the starters. And then I'm reading off the names of guys who I haven't even said. Solomon Ennis, Brian Thompson, Bronson Boyd, Jalen Dixon has been impressing people left and right.
Derek Vickers.
Terrell Perriman's been really good. I mean, that is a good group. One thing I will say about Vickers is look for him to feel like a Troy McCormick kind of scat back role, because it's going to be hard for him to get on the field as a wide receiver. And the wide receiver position is really mentally demanding in an experience sense, because there's so many reads that the wide receivers have to make.
Experience.
Yeah, but there's the starters are all experienced.
That's true. But then you get depth. I mean, I can understand the reasons. To me, I can understand
the athleticism is better than it has ever been in the history of the program by a lot.
I agree. But, I mean, I just don't – I feel like, instinctually, I think of three players with a good amount of experience that are on that wide receiver core. But after that, you lose a couple guys to injury, and you got a lot of inexperience in those wide receivers.
Right, but – if you think of each of these guys as a dice roll, which I talk about a lot, because you don't know, right? You don't know who's going to be good. Solomon Ennis, is it Bronson Boyd, is it Terrell Perriman? And you don't know the answer to any one of those guys. But you know that each of them has the native skill and athleticism to be as good as anyone in the Pac-12. One of them's going to come up heads, one of them's going to work out. I mean, the last name I said was Terrell Perriman, and that is he's a great player. He's really exciting to watch. He's physically, talent wise totally game ready. Will he learn the position? I don't know, we'll see. But we have a lot of chances to get it right, so I'm not too worried about it if one or two guys don't get it right. But I do think for Vickers, with Covey and Dixon having and Nekwa all probably being in the slot, and Vickers being kind of a late arrival and needing to pick up the offense, they're likely to put him in that McCormick role where they can just say, we're going to give you the ball. There's the end zone. Have some fun. And that's where he's at his best. So I wouldn't necessarily look to see him lined up with the wide receivers. I think he'll probably in the back, commotioning out, maybe for screen passes and things like that, rather than a true wide receiver role.
Well, Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's interesting, right? There's the upside. It looks like the group has a really high ceiling, and it could be really, really good, and especially in this offense that's pass-fit-friendly, shall we say. But then there's the depth experience argument that I have. So we'll see what happens. I see that one a little bit more than offensive line, but those were the top two results.
Yeah, I think that the position, one of the positions in which experience is the least important, is wide receiver, because while there are reads and there are jobs to do, and I think they're a little more complicated in this one, a lot of it is just go get open, and these guys have the skills to do that, and in a way that the roster has never had before. There's always been a guy who we've talked about, and I've kind of said to him, yeah, he's great, he's a good player, he works really hard, but gosh, I just wish he was 2 inches taller and a tenth of a second faster and 10 pounds heavier, and those guys are on the team now. So it's pretty exciting.
All right, well, we'll see. So other fall camp notes, and I have at least one for us to talk about. And I know we're running short on time, but first is apparently our field goal kicker, Mr.
Did you see that?
Gay hit a 60-yard field goal.
Not like hold on. Hit. Yeah, oh, you're
it,
saying
it. It was
yeah.
through easy.
Yeah.
Right. But the funny thing to me was that reporters or people at the practice were asking Whittingham if he, during a game, would kick or allow him to go for a 60-yard field goal. And to me, that's just a laughable question. Like, why would you ever do that? Like, hello, field position. I mean, a 60-yard field goal, you're kicking that from, like, the 40.
He could have hit it at 70. Well, that could have gotten him from 70.
So Whittingham said he's hitting those at 50% clip right now. You want a 50% shot at getting 3 points? Or would you rather go for it on, like, fourth and short on the 40? Or would you rather punt it with your great kicker, pin him within the 5, and tell the defense to go after it and improve your field position even more, especially when Cubby's going to be returning the punts? And that kid was amazing as a freshman. Yes.
Although Vickers might do that too. I might like to see Cubby take the field a little less.
Ultimately, my point is that I think it's funny that people are thinking Whittingham's going to go for a 60-yard field goal in a game. I just don't ever see it happening unless there's, like, 2 seconds left.
Well, that's what it is. Chance to win the game. It's options, right? There's 2 seconds left in the third quarter, the second quarter, and you're like, can we get 3 extra points from almost anywhere on the field? I'd let him kick it at 70 at that point, and be really careful about not letting a return, but
or a block.
Yeah, and that stuff does happen. Ask Nick Saban about that, and one of the truly greatest football games I've ever seen,
which is
the that Auburn Alabama Iron Bowl is truly one for the ages. But it's nice to have the option, and you know, if you happen to be down 1 or 2 points, it's really nice to know that is available there, that you could say, well, we're 65 out, but we don't need a Hail Mary. We've got a leg that we can rely on. I think most of the time you go for it and you punt, but it's cool that he can do it, and it gives you a lot of confidence in shorter long kicks and tougher situation. You know, if you've got the wind at your face or something like that, and he can hit a 45 that normally you wouldn't be able to do in a situation where you like it more. You know, it's 4th and 9 or something like that, and you just want the 3. So it's great. I'm excited about it, and it's nice to see he hasn't lost the step, although I didn't expect him to.
I was about to say, where's that comment come from? Why would you?
Well, you know, kickers are so mercurial, and you just, you know, one year they're great and the next year they're not. So it's nice to see that he hasn't. Whatever it is that sometimes happens inside the head of a kicker where they just stop hitting, didn't happen to him. Don't listen to this podcast. podcast. Don't even start thinking about it. I just want him to be in this, oh, his own universe. Just, you know, put on the headphones, your favorite music. Don't talk to anyone ever. Don't, I mean, just show up and kick your field goals and go home and sleep. And that's all I ever want you to do, or whatever. Whatever works, just
whatever's been working.
Don't, right, just don't rock the boat. It. Don't change anything ever. That's the goal with a kicker like Matty Gay. He's fun to watch.
All right.
Oh, one more note. Good things, lots of good things out of camp about Jake Jackson. He's a tight end. And if you go through and you watch the film, tight end was a real serious problem for the Utes all year, not just in not getting any receptions, although they got very few, but pass blocking as well. A lot of the sacks, a lot of the busted coverages, a lot of Huntley's foundational lack of confidence in his pocket came from poor tight end blocking. But that looks to be on the mend and headed in the right direction. There were a lot of injuries at that position. It was a tough spot, but it looks better this year.
Good, because ultimately my favorite touchdown pass for a quarterback to make with in the red zone is the play action pass to the tight end. When you fake the handoff, roll out, and your tight end has just thrown a nice little chip block, and then he cuts out and he's right there on the goal line. The Utes had no one to throw that to.
Yeah.
And now hopefully that's going to be there. And Darren more Paulo, touchdowns.
Darren Paulo caught one of those last year. One of those great big guy touchdowns.
But before we go, just want to give a shout out. Look, guys, season's almost here. It is time to get you new, at least in my family, it's always time to get some new Utah gear with the new season. And check on our buddy at DollyLlama.com. He's got plenty of Utah gear for you. And then the other thing I'll say as a note of business is, hey, give us some feedback. UteTalk@gmail.com.
Five-star reviews.
iTunes.
Six Stitcher, stars if they'll let you.
Google Play. I don't think they do, but hey.
Do five stars and then comment, wish I could do six. That's what I
want
to hear.
That's what you want. All right. Until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.